Okay, this is part two of December 15th. Let's see. Okay, we're finishing up lesson seven. You just look at section seven here. Don't worry about it too much. Part 8 on page 104. Again, you just look over those forms. Just so you could recognize them on sight. Okay, so now we'll come to grammar of lesson 8 on page
1.
Yes.
The initial reading, could I ask a question?
Yeah.
From lesson 7, page 97.
Yeah.
At the very end of page 97.
Yeah.
There is this, like, the second sentence from the bottom.
Yeah.
It says, Samatha, Samadhinna, Ahitaya,
Bhutaya,
Samvataya, Nova.
Yeah.
Nova is like what we did, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then, what is this Katangva Etta Hotiti? What does that mean?
Yeah, it's a little obscure. So, literally, Katang is how, Va is or, Etta originally means here. But we could take it in an extended sense, about this. And hoti means there is. So literally, it's, or how is it about this? That's the literal rendering. But the sense is something like, or what do you think about this? So he's saying, when these things are taken up and undertaken, do they lead to harm and suffering or not? Or how is it about this? In other words, or what else do you think about this? It's very idiomatic. And then in their answer, okay, they say, taken up and undertaken, they lead to harm and suffering. That T at the end shouldn't be there. It's all continuous. Evang no eta hoti, thus to us, this is literally, thus to us, here is. And the meaning in normal English is, this is what we think about it. Such is what we think about this matter. Or more freely, that's our view, that's our opinion. Okay, so let's go back now to grammar of lesson 8. Okay, the nouns, masculine nouns ending in I, these you just have to learn, there's nothing to explain. Okay, now third person imperative, in English this sounds a little bit strange, because we always think of the imperative as somebody giving a command to somebody else. But this is has the sense of, it's sort of a polite way of making a request. Particularly when the monks are speaking to the Buddha, they don't say, you do this. That would be very impolite. But, for example, Bhagava Dhammang Desetu, let the Blessed One teach the Dhamma. So they're speaking directly to the Buddha, but rather than using a second person form, they speak about the Buddha in the third person. And then it's also used, the third person imperative, to express a wish. Like, usually we chant, Bhavatu Sabba Mangalam, let there be all blessings. You know, it's the imperative, but we're not giving a command to anybody, but we're just saying, let it be. Rakkantu Sabba Devata, may all the deities protect you. Rakkantu is third person plural imperative. Sabba Buddhanu Bhavena Sada Soti Bhavantu Te, let there be all safety for you. Oh, here we have Desetu Bhante Bhagava Dhammang. Let the Blessed One, Bhante, speak or teach the Dhamma.
Is this sometimes referred to as the
benedictive?
Because it's not like a command.
It's more when it's in the sense of making a, we will call it a pious wish, then it's the benedictive.
Church, peace be with you at the end.
Okay, this is a really important construction. I've been compiling a list of locative absolutes and genitive absolutes. When I get back, I'll have to send it out. Okay, so how to explain this? Let's take the other things first that are easier to work on. No, I'm serious. Okay, so forms based on the root vach, which means to speak. So the present tense is not formed from vach. Somehow it got sort of omitted in Pali and replaced by the verb vad, vadati, one speaks, or basati, to speak. But the forms based on vach in the aorist are very common. So this is what you should get familiar with. First person singular, especially a vochung. And then third person singular, a vocha. Bhagava etad avocha, the Blessed One said this. And then we have apparently vatva is based on vach. This is very common. Vatva, having said. And then the past participle, vutta, what was said. Evang vutang, such was said. And the present participle, vucha mana, what was being said. And then we have the future passive participle, vattaba, what should be said. Not so common. And then the passive voice, vuchati, what is said. Something is said. Okay, then there's the word bhavant, which originally comes from the verb bhavati, to be, but it takes on the special meaning of as like a designation for a person, almost like the honorable so-and-so, the esteemed so-and-so, or Mr. So-and-so. Like the Brahmins, as I said, refer to the Buddha as Bhavan Gotamo, the Honorable Gotama. And they also refer to each other as Bhavan. And then they use the vocative form Bo. So when the Brahmin is talking to the Buddha, they'll refer to him as Bo Gotama. Okay, I'll skip over this ending of verbs and the E. Well, actually, these are a kind of Nivesai, Nivesaye. That's a kind of optative ending. Since I have just 15 minutes, let's take the use of cases. Okay, to indicate time, sometimes the instrumental is used, tena samayena, at that time. I already explained three cases they use to indicate periods of time. The accusative, like ekang samayang bhagava savatyang viharati. So ekang samayang, at one time, the Blessed One was living at Savati. Then the locative case, tasmin samaye, on that occasion, such and such happened. Yasmin samaye, such and such, tasmin samaye. So on whichever occasion such and such happens, on that occasion this and that happens. And then the instrumental. Usually this instrumental comes tena in the form tena kopana samayena. There'll come a passage introducing a time. For example, ekang samayang bhagava savating viharati jetavane inatapindikasa ara me tena kopana samayena sambhula bhikkhu abadiko honti Palha Gilana. Okay, so at one time the Blessed One was living at Savati in Jeta's Grove and Atapindika's monastery. Now, at that time, a number of monks were sick, seriously ill, and so on. Vatena Kopana Samayena Ayasma Anando Yena Bhagava Tena Upasankami. So now, on that occasion, the Venerable Ananda approached the Blessed One and said this to him. So the instrumental is used to refer to a time that was previously indicated. Okay, Atto. Turning the page. Oh, not so much grammar in this chapter. So, atto, this is what the word that we came across in Karaniyam Attakusalena. So utta has the meaning of, amongst its meanings, is good, purpose, meaning. And it's also used in the dative case in a compound to indicate the purpose for which something might be done. So here they give the example of yanyataya, for the purpose of sacrifice. But we have the case where maybe sambahula upasaka agata bhagavantang dasana taya. So a number of lay people arrived bhagavantang dasana taya for the purpose of seeing the Blessed One. So utta is used as at the end of a compound in order to convey the sense of, for the purpose of, for the sake of. Then the word kama is also used in compounds with the infinitive to indicate desiring to do something. And what happens with the infinitive is that the ung drops out from the infinitive, leaving just the you. So you know we form the infinitive with ung. And so the ung drops out and we just have u. So for example, somebody wants to go, so we have gantu kamo. So the infinitive for to go is gantung, and we want to say he desires to go. So the ung drops off, and we connect kama, meaning wishing or desiring, to the two. So gantu kamo. He desires to go. You could say, he desires to see. You might say, pasitu kamo. Or datu kamo. Either one is okay. I desire to give. How do you say it? The ordinary word for he gives, she gives, is deity. I desire to give alms to the Sangha. The alms is danang.
Danang?
Yeah.
Aham danang.
Or I desire to give a robe. Okay. Aham to the monk. Aham. Okay.
I desire to give.
Desire to come.
That's desire to teach.
To come.
It's actually, it would be based on deity. I think it's based on deity. Okay, deitu kamo. Yeah. So, ahang, I desire to give a robe to the monk. Ahang bikuno chivarang deitu kamo. The Buddha wishes, the Blessed One wishes to teach the Dhamma. You have to say the whole sentence. The Blessed One wishes to teach the Dhamma. What is Blessed One? Okay, what is the Dhamma? declined in the case?
Accusative.
Okay, so say it. You don't know the accusative of Dhamma.
Dhamma.
Okay, and he desires to teach. You have to get the right case. The Blessed One wishes to teach the Dhamma. Suki, I'm sure you could do it.
Bhagava Dhamman they say to Kamo.
Right, of course. Okay, a woman says, I want to see the Buddha. I want to go to see the Buddha. You're speaking as a woman now. Oh, no looking at the book. Okay. Ahang. Ahang. Okay. Ahang what?
To see the Buddha?
Yeah. Right. For to see will be, or first would be actually using the noun in the dative case. Foreseeing. Stephen, you want to help?
So the date ending.
A-Y-A.
Yeah.
Dasanaya.
Okay, now wish to go. Remember, you're speaking. Maybe Mingjie, you want to help her? Say again. Gantu kam what? Yeah, remember, you have to speak in the feminine. Kama. Yeah, you have to use the longe. Kamo is the masculine ending, masculine singular. Feminine, kama. So, ahang bhagavantang dasanaya gantu kama.
How does the dasanaya change masculine, feminine? Is it all aya, dasanaya?
Dasana, the noun dasana is neuter.
So it doesn't change when I say it.
No. Mm-hmm. The only thing that changes would be the words that that are describing you. Mm-hmm. But seeing is just that the action. Okay, the next is just some examples of some sundays. You just look it over. Again, don't worry about it. So I have 4 minutes to explain the locket of absolute. Okay, let me see how to put this. I mean, I've explained it in the previous.
We have so many notes on it.
But here's a good example right here. Let's see, I had the Sati, it's in the Satipatthana Sutta in this famous ending here. Sativa upadi se se anagamita. So we have, anyone, O monks, who should develop these 4 satipatthanas for 7 years, for him a certain fruit of 2 fruits may be expected, either complete or liberating knowledge, here and now, then sati va upadi sese anagamita. Now the word sati here has nothing to do with sati as mindfulness. This is the present participle of the verb to be, occurring in the locative case. And it's being used to describe upadi sese, which means a remainder. So the idea is, if there is there being a remainder, the state of a non-returner. So the locative absolute, to give the definition in brief, when there's two clauses in a sentence, one clause is a secondary or subordinate clause, the other clause is the main clause. In the secondary clause, there is a subject different from the subject of the main clause. And the subject is doing something, or something has happened to the subject. So the subject is being described by a present participle or a past participle. In that case, the subject, the noun representing the subject, and the participle describing the subject occur in the locative case. Whereas in the main clause, say the subject occurs in the nominative, and that subject performs an action indicated by a verb. I actually found it difficult to find many examples of the locative absolute in the sutta literature. It seems to become used more often in the commentaries. But let's take an example. We get many examples in the formula for dependent origination. Okay, here are some examples. Okay, so here, this is the past Buddha named Vipassi, but when he was still a bodhisattva, he says, kinnu ko sati jara maranang hoti. So this is a locative absolute in the interrogative or question form. When what is existing, does old age and death occur? Okay, then there comes to him the realization, jatiya ko sati, that is, when there is birth, jara maranang hoti, old age and death come to be. So you see here, we have two clauses. The subordinate clause, what is the subject in the subordinate clause? Quick.
Jati.
Right, jati, birth. And birth is described as being or existing. So birth and the word for existence come in the locative. They're literally, they're being birth there is old age and death. But we could put this a little more naturally in English. When there is birth, there is old age and death. Or take down here, just go down a little bit. Tanhaya ko sati upadanang hoti. When there is craving, there is clinging. So you see, tanha, craving, is the subject of the secondary clause. So it's described in the locative case with sati, present participle locative of to be, ati. So when there is craving, there is clinging, or clinging comes to be. Okay, maybe enough for today. Any questions?
So, Bhante, in the previous example, so it would have been like upadi se se sati anagamita hoti?
Yeah. Find some other examples. Okay, I think we just stopped for the day. I'm actually collecting a file, or developing a little file, collecting examples of the locative absolute and the genitive absolute.
Can I have a bunch that you've given?
This one.
Did I?
Yeah.
This one actually has a pretty good
section.
Locative, yes.
And genitive absolute.
And genitive absolute.
Let me, could I just take a quick look?
Sure.
Okay, this is, from Tiga Nikaya. Atako maro papima. Achira pakante ayasmante anande yena bhagavaten upasankami upasanakami. Actually, it should be upasankami. There's a printing error. Okay, then you see achira pakante ayasmante anande. Those are locative forms. Not long after Venerable Ananda had left, Mara, the evil one, approached the blessed one, the Buddha. Okay, anyway, let us go for the day. Okay, so